Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is September 12, 2019. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. Emergency, text my cell phone first. It's 316-619-4886. And you can always find updates, breaking news, everything about Messiah's Branch at prophecyhour.com. Remember, folks, we're a national satellite radio program which is simulcast live on internationally. It's live on YouTube. It's on some FM station, so pray about supporting airtime. Let's thank our listener base, and we'll get to the prayer in the program. Anyway, places like Amman, Jordan, Singapore, Kingston, Jamaica, Davao City in the Philippines, and of course cities in the United States such as Seattle, Washington, San Diego, California, Henderson, Nevada, and Charlotte, North Carolina. Wichita, you made it back to the largest group of listeners to our programs when they go to podcast later tonight. Follow us and share us at Twitter, Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77. Now prayer, and we'll bring on one of our favorite guests. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I just ask for you to take control. And so things come out according to your will and not ours, Father. So please, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Well, I believe truly that Obama's years in the White House has caused a lot of the problems that we are having in this country right now. And I'm talking about racial division and all these other ludicrous things that are going on, the war on Christianity. Of course, it's by Satan the devil, but it sure looks like Obama was really used to do this. Who is Obama? I mean, really, do we really know everything about this ex-president? Well, tonight our guest is Pastor Carl Gallup. He's a best-selling author, a senior pastor since 1987. He's a talk radio host. He's heard nationally and internationally, TV and radio guest commentator. He's a former decorated Florida law enforcement officer, founder of P.P. Simmons News Ministry Network, and also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl's written 9 books, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roars, Gods and Thrones, Gods of Ground Zero, The Rabbi, The Secret Message and the Identity of the Messiah, and his latest out right now is Gods of the Final Kingdom. But you have to watch Carl because he's probably got another one in the works. So welcome, Pastor Carl.
Pastor Dan, you're so kind. I love being on your show, and I love being with your audience. And, yes, I have another one in the works. It's a manuscript due to be turned in 1st of November, and it'll be coming out in the first quarter of 2020. So I wish I could tell you all about it. I'm really pumped about it. But you'll see it. You'll get a copy of it. And this time I'm going to make sure you get one up front. And even if I have to send you another electronic copy first, brother, I want you to be one of the first readers of the manuscript.
Oh, amen. I always love your books. They're exciting for me to get, and so much good information. Before I forget, I got a message for you from somebody.
Yeah.
Jim Barfield. I had him on my radio program earlier today.
Oh, my gosh. And I love Jim Barfield.
He's a pretty good guy.
Yeah.
Well, he told me to tell you hello, and he wished you well.
Thank
you. We were on talking about, you know, the Copper Squirrel Court. Anyway, he told me to tell you hi.
Yeah, well, thanks. No, he and I were in Israel together. I mean, we were there separately, but we wound up being together and talked quite a bit. Then he and I did a prophecy conference. Gosh, I've done so many this year. Let me see. That was just, where was it? It was a few weeks ago. Where were we a few weeks ago? I can't even remember now. We were in Branson, Missouri, and we did a conference there. And Shelley Neese, who wrote the book, working in conjunction with Jim Barfield, but Shelley wrote the book. Shelley and I have been friends for a long time. We've done some television together. We did Skywatch television together. We were at the Branson conference together. And I sat on the front row when Jim and Shelley were each doing their presentation. I love those guys. Yeah, thanks for the kind words. Yeah, and return the words if you have him on again.
Oh, yeah, I think I'm going to be talking to him again. And Shelley, I just reached out to her today with an email to, you know, make contact because I want to have her come on a program before. I don't know why I stalled around, and it took a listener to say, hey, how come you haven't had Jim on yet? And I said, well, I've been thinking about it for a while. Yeah. And so I sent him an email last night to his website, and I thought, well, you know, sometimes that takes a while. He got right back a hold of me today, and I talked to him, and he's a wonderful guy. And I said, well, you know, we can schedule. He said, well, do you have anything open today? And I said, yeah. Just so happens I got a 5 o'clock program open. And so he came right on, and it was a really great interview. And, you know, like with most people I talk to, Carl, I like to just, you know, kind of relax and just have a conversation. You know what I'm saying? And so it was really interesting for me, and I'm sure for audience also.
Yeah. Oh, I bet it was. Listen, he's fascinating, and he's got quite a colorful life and a colorful presentation too, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to come. He already agreed to come back on. He's got some information on the Order of Melchizedek and some things down there that connect to all this. And so I'm really anxious to get him back on and talk about it. And he's got some important things coming out about the Copper Scroll. But having said all that, I seen this thing pop up. Now, that's where I was going to talk to you completely about different things, but this came up about Obama because I came across this interview. It's Carl Gallup. Some of us know who Obama is. And so, you know, I've got law enforcement people that listen to this program and made comments before. They wanted me to re-ask you about all of that.
Yeah.
About your involvement and everything. And I thought, well, with this, it's a great opportunity to talk to you.
Okay. Well, listen, Pastor Dan, you and I have talked about this a lot over the years, and I've tried to keep your audience up to date on all of the latest that I know that I am able to share. And you know what I mean by that. There's a lot of things I know, and I'm not trying to be coy. Your audience knows I spent 10 years in Florida law enforcement. They know that I was deputized by Sheriff Joe Arpaio as a special deputy. They know that I've worked closely with Mike Zullo and that I was at the last press conference in Phoenix, Arizona at the request of the sheriff. And so they know that I know a lot of things that I have been entrusted with. That's why I was deputized, to hold me accountable and so that I could hold them accountable. And so I'm not being coy when I say, you know, I know things that I just can't say publicly, but everything that I've been allowed to say publicly, I believe I have. But listen, I can tell you this. I just completed a 46-page chapter that's going into a book that Tom Horn is releasing in the first quarter. Now I'm writing my own book. It's another, you know, theological thriller, hopefully. But he is releasing a book that has to do with the deep state connections to just everything that's going on, spiritual and political. And he asked me if I would write a chapter that kind of just outlines this whole birth certificate saga and gives some good juicy stuff that most people either don't know or haven't researched or haven't seen or have not made the connections. And so that was easy for me to do because I've been immersed in this for years at a very deep level. So I wrote that chapter. Now, I'm not at liberty tonight to discuss all the details of that chapter because it's under contract. But when it comes out, I'll just be glad to unpack it. But I can say this. Look, you know, I don't recall reading that article. I think that was on Post and Email, right?
Post Email.
And Sharon Rondeau is an amazing researcher journalist. She does journalism like it's supposed to be done, and her articles are very detailed, often quite lengthy. But once you start reading them, you realize that she's really good at what she does, and she documents what she says, and she goes deep, sometimes deeper than people want to know. But it's you know, that's responsible journalism. So I admire her very much. And so I can just say that the title was truthful, but probably a little sensational too, because I want to explain the context in which I said the title. What did it say? Carl Gallup says we know who Obama is, or some of us
let's
know
see,
who Obama
let's see what it says. It's okay. Some of us know who Obama is. It's going to be a shock when it finally comes out.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, okay. Well, yeah, the context of that was a live radio program and broadcast. In fact, it was my own show. Brandon Big B, one of my co-hosts, Brandon happens to be my son and has been doing this with me for years. He's an associate pastor of a big rehab ministry up in North Alabama and a big church. But we were talking about some of the latest with the deep state investigating the investigators and the connections to the Obama White House. And then Brandon said something along the lines of what a fraud he was. And, you know, we still don't know who this guy is, yada, yada, yada. And basically the way you just opened your program about all the junk that his administration is responsible for that we're still living with both nationally and internationally.
Right.
And so that's when I made the comment. I kind of laughed and I said, yeah, but some of us know who he is, and it's going to be a shock when people find out. And I meant that kind of tongue in cheek, although, listen, I just want to set this straight. That was not to imply that I know exactly where he was born and we have hard evidence, because I've never really been of the birther ilk. I know that a lot of people have labeled me that way, but Sheriff Joe Arpaio and Mike Zullo, they've never been birthers. All they have been involved in for years was a 5-year criminal investigation of the document that was put on the White House website that Obama and his administration proffered to the nation saying, you know, Obama basically said, this is me. This is my document. This is who I am. This is my legitimate birth certificate. Well, the point I was making on the show was, no, it's not his legitimate birth certificate. We do have the forensic evidence verified by two international digital document expert companies renowned in their field, one in Europe, one in the United States. They have supplied affidavits to Sheriff Joe and Mike Zullo, lengthy affidavits explaining and showing all of their mathematical equations and their scientific examination that this document on the White House website is a complete fabrication from the ground up, Pastor Dan, from the ground up. In fact, we even know, and we've said this publicly, so I can say it again, we know from whose birth certificate his birth certificate was fabricated. We actually have that birth certificate from Hawaii from a woman by the name of Johanna Ani. Now, we also know that her birth certificate probably was not the only one used to develop the ground-up fabrication that has now become Barack Obama's long-form birth certificate. And so the point I was making is, yeah, we know that he's a complete fraud. Now, I'm going to say things I've already said before, but bear with me for a moment because I want to give the context to what I said.
Right,
the context to what I said is everything we're talking about now, and that is the fact we know he's a fraud. We know the birth certificate does not represent any legitimate hard copy birth certificate with microfilm evidence on file in Hawaii. It can't, because it cannot exist, because what we have is a document from another woman that we have proven with two different companies that's where they got a lot of information to build his certificate from. So the point is, what he has cannot be the real thing, because it cannot exist. All right, now, that would be like if I cut and pasted and pieced together a driver's license, And then I got stopped, and the officer questioned it. And then he says, well, I don't believe this is the original. And I said, well, yeah, the original is on file at the Department of Highway Safety in Florida. Well, that would be a big fat lie. It can't be on file there because I cut and pasted it together in my office. So there can't right. be one on file. So that's the point we're making about Obama's birth certificate. There cannot be one in Hawaii that's exactly like the one that's on the White House website. As a matter of fact, the only person that we know that actually handled the supposed document and turned it over to the lawyers of Barack Obama, Perkins Coie, by the way, the same people that were involved in the Steele dossier transfer, if that yeah. helps any. Yeah, oh yeah.
Helps a lot.
Yeah. And the only person that actually handled it was a woman by the name of Loretta Fuddy. And she conveniently died in a plane crash in which no one else died in. So, you know, I mean, this thing just begins
to nobody else died in.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So the point I'm making when I'm saying we know who he is, it was tongue in cheek, and that is to say we know who he's not. That birth certificate, the information on that birth certificate, some or all of it is incorrect. Carl, how can you say that? Well, why else would they have fabricated a document? Why else would I sit in my office and make myself a driver's license? Number one, either I don't have one and can't get one, or number two, I wish to assume the identity of someone else. So when we look at Obama's birth certificate, which we know is a fake, a fraud, a fabrication, we know one of the documents from which he made it from, not he, I doubt if Obama did it, but somebody connected to Obama made that, and Loretta Fuddy supposedly handled it, and she's dead, conveniently. So the point being that now that we know that that's a fake, now we ask the million-dollar question, Pastor Dan. Why? Why? Why yes. would a sitting U.S. president, the most powerful man on the planet at his time, the most powerful man in history who has ever lived on the planet while he was president, and how can I say that? Because the United States of America is the most powerful superpower that the planet has ever known, the most powerful economic engine that the planet has ever known. And when you're the president and the commander-in-chief of all that, at the time you're in office, you're the most powerful person that's ever lived in history, more so than any of the Caesars, more so than Alexander the Great. Think about that, brother.
Right.
Think about it.
Right.
So at the time, why would the most powerful man in office who's ever lived on the planet feel the necessity to fabricate a fake document and put it on a government website? Brother, That's a list of three or four or five federal crimes. Number one, producing a fake document. Just producing a fake ID document is a felony. All right? Then posting it on a government website as your identification. That's another felony. Then actually using it to gain office is another felony. Then actually standing before the whole world and saying, this is me and it's not you. That's another felony. And then, I mean, I could go on and on.
Right.
So why would a sitting president, why would he do that? And there are only three, maybe four possibilities, and none of them are good, brother, none of them. So one of them is because he doesn't have an American birth certificate. Well, if that's the case, that means he's not born in America. If that's the case, that means he was an absolute undocumented illegal alien that was the commander-in-chief of our military. That is treason. All right? That's one possibility. Another possibility is that he does have a legitimate birth certificate, but he fabricated that one because something on his legitimate birth certificate he didn't want the world to see. It was embarrassing to him, or he felt like it might cost him an election. Now, we can only speculate, and some people have. Some people said, yeah, it shows somebody else is his daddy, or it shows he really wasn't black, or all this stuff, you know, that you hear. And I don't know. We've never examined the real thing. Well, there isn't a real thing, at least not like the one he put on the White House website. We know that. So that would be reason number two, that he does have something over there but there's something on it he doesn't want the world to see. All right. Reason number three. He does have one. It's completely legitimate. But he fabricated, when I say he, I mean his people, they right. fabricated a fake one because he just wanted to mess with the conservatives in America and try to make us look like idiots because people were questioning his identity. So they got together and said, I know what, let's just pull one on. Let's just put a piece of junk fake one up on the website and just keep them chasing their tails for 8 years. And that sounds kind of funny now, it, you know, but the problem is, it's still five federal crimes. That's like me making a fake driver's license and driving around with it for 8 years and then getting stopped one day and said, oh, I just did this as a joke. Well, I'm sorry, sir, you're still going to jail. It's illegal to do that. I don't care if it's a joke or not. And besides, what kind of president would pull a joke like that on the entirety of the world? So that's the third possibility. The only other possibility I can think of is that he actually thought he did have a birth certificate. Maybe he was lied to by his entire family forever, and then he goes in office, and he's sitting up there in the most powerful position of the world, and he's tired of everybody saying he's not a U.S. citizen, so he sends his people down to get his birth certificate, and they find out he doesn't have one, but rather than tell him to make him culpable for it, they just fabricate one. It's called plausible deniability. So yeah. That could be, but even though that doesn't directly implicate him, it does implicate all of the people that forged it. The bottom line is, what's on the White House website is a forgery, and that was the tongue-in-cheek statement I was making about, yeah, well, we know who he is, kind of, and what I mean is, you know, we know who he's not. He's a fake. He's a fraud, and none of those four reasons are good, so he's going to be one of those four things. That's what I meant.
Well, you know, and I understand what you mean, putting it in that context. And I kind of thought that. I thought, well, you know, Carl, new information, and, you know, I waited out. But there are some big developments that, about some other things. But let's go back to that. I could even make that statement. I know who he is. And that's just talking about how the person is, you know, without,
right.
And so I totally get it. There is just one question that somebody came in with, but we don't have time before the break. So tell them where to find you, and we'll go to break. We'll come back, and we'll talk. I got some other things to talk to you about, too.
Okay, good, brother. I'm here for you and your audience. You can ask me anything you want, and I'm just honored to be with you. Yes, find me at carlgallops.com. Me, my books, my church, videos, TV interviews, articles, everything, carlgallops.com.
Yes, folks, you can find a lot there. Anyway, we'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
Thank you. have is one more chance to snatch his soul from entering hell. But don't you know these evil days are numbered? So get to work and do your job well. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls. That was on my heart. Now don't forget we haven't much time. The vineyard tribes, the field is wide, the workers are few, and the harvest time is now in its prime. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. There's so soon to lose their
creation. God ended his work after 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day. At that time, he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, made it holy. The fourth commandment, written in stone by the finger of God, states that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord and instructs us to rest on that day. The only honest conclusion that can be drawn is that Sunday, the first day of the week, cannot possibly be the Sabbath. Could the days of the week have been changed over time? Is the time from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown really the seventh day? A careful study of chronology reveals that even though calendar changes have occurred, the order of the days of the week have stayed the same. The Julian calendar, originating in 46 BC, was replaced with the Gregorian calendar in 1582. What took place is that 10 days were taken from the number of the days in the month, not the number of the days in the week. Friday, October 5th, became Friday, October 15th. Calendar changes did not alter the days of the week, or the order of the days. One must also remember that it is only necessary to check the calendars back to the time of Christ. He certainly knew which day the Sabbath was, for it was Jesus who created all things and instituted the observance of the Sabbath day. Yes, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts.
For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Welcome aboard. We're honored to be here tonight with Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin of Messiah's Branch, theprophecyhour.com. Would you all like to open us up in prayer tonight?
Well, we're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour and American Voice Radio Network. Well, we're talking with Pastor Carl Gallup today, one of yours and mine favorite guests. Before we do, I just got a little short thing to tell you, and we'll get right back to it. Folks, we always ask for donations for the Wichita Mission Church. Amen, and I'm glad you support it. We're in our 20th year. But I want to point out that we also need your help for radio, because you listen to radio and you love our great guests. Well, just remember that we don't sell anything. I know those commercials are for American Voice Radio. We don't sell anything. And so it's only your donations that keep us on the air. So you can donate online or mail a check or money order, make a donation over the phone. You can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. And I just pray that you'll support the radio program. And we've been doing that for a very long time too. And now we're back. I'm excited to be back with Pastor Carl. You still there, Carl?
Oh, I'm here, Pastor Dan. Thanks for having me.
Okay, I've got a question that somebody pinned for me, and I don't know if you know the answer to that or not. I guess apparently when Obama was sworn in the second time,
uh-huh.
that his oath of office was taken secretly, and he says, any idea who Roberts secretly, under what name he might have did it? You know, in other words, saying there might have been something nefarious because he was sworn in secretly by Roberts. Anything on that? Any thought?
Yeah, it wasn't really secret. It was a private swearing-in ceremony is what they call it. I mean, I guess there were other people there. It wasn't like it was just he and Roberts, I don't think. But anyway, no, listen, I don't have any information about that, don't have any clue.
Right. I mean, listen.
There are a lot of conspiracy theories, and when I use that term conspiracy, I don't mean to be pejorative. I mean, because it either was just a great big flubbing mistake, and you know, yeah. I just thought John Roberts was just, my gosh, it's like he was really idiotic. I thought he was so much sharper than that. Or what if they knew that, you know, somehow they needed to get the right name in there. If for some reason he didn't have the right name, they didn't want the Supreme Court to be culpable. I don't know. That's what people have said. I don't have any information on that. I'm so sorry. I wish I could answer it. If I could, I would.
Yeah, amen. But, you know, there's so much question about him. I mean, like nobody even, and I don't want to get in deep into that, about people not even noticing him in college and different things. But here, did you hear today that that McCabe looks like there's an indictment expected for him? Now, the whole deep state thing from everything I read is going to go back to the White House. And, you know, my big question, and I don't want you to answer it or be saying, well, Carl said this, but, you know, my real strong suspicion is other people might have put Obama in office than whatever, and also led to this thing about Trump. What I'm saying now is I'm hoping that this McCabe indictment might finally lead to some people being prosecuted for the attack on the president. And, you know, these guys, I think if they're threatened with jail, I don't think they, you know, I think they'll just talk. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, I'm not sure. Let me address that. But before I do, I just want to tell you, I earlier, just before you started asking that question, I had already logged on and did a quick search, and I found an AOL article that was written in 2017. But it's entitled President Obama Messed Up the Oath of Office on His Inauguration Day, Not Once But Twice. And then it says, the first time wasn't his fault. Supreme Court Justice John Roberts accidentally reworded the oath ever so slightly, saying execute the office of president to the United States faithfully instead of faithfully execute. Obama paused and smiled, seemingly aware of the mistake. He then retook the oath of office the following day out of an abundance of caution, inviting Roberts to the White House the next day. Obama admitted he did not swear on the Bible for this second administration of the oath, but insisted it was binding anyway. So, that's how AOL reported it, and I just thought I would throw that in there. Okay, yeah, all this other stuff, you're talking about investigating the investigators, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, listen, I don't have any inside scoop, but I do read the news fervently, and I do listen to a lot of good conservative talk radio people that do have contacts, and they're, you know, kind of giving their opinions on what they're hearing from deep inside of Washington. So if I was going to prognosticate, I think that somebody probably will be charged with some federal crimes, probably will go to prison, in a federal prison, probably. We'll have to see.
Yes.
But the thing is, I do know that, look, listen, I would need an hour to unpack this. I'm going to say it in 3 minutes. Bottom line, Donald Trump has been trashed and attacked viciously by the deep state. And now that he has shaken almost all of that off of him, he has come out like a bear out of his cave after a winter hibernation, and he's ready for some fresh meat. And he and the DOJ are going after these yahoos, these jackwagons that you know, try to destroy him. And I think he's going with a vengeance. And I think if he can put people in prison, I think they will. That's what I think.
Yeah, I sure hope so. And I'm not really a big speculation guy, but boy, I just hope so. Let's switch to something else. I've got, not that I could talk to you about this all night, but as I was pulling up your website, I always like to have the website up while we're talking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I seen this thing, and now I'm a bug for anything that has to do with the rabbi that found Messiah. But here's this thing. I'm sitting here looking at a picture of you and Zev, and it says, Carl Gallup's and Zev Porat in Israel. Zev and Carl challenge Yad something or other in Israel with a shocking outcome. Okay, you got me. Hook, line, and sinker.
Okay, listen, there's been several shocking things that have happened. And I was, of course, in Israel with Zev. We're on top of a mountain. Gosh, where was that? I can't remember where we were.
It says Mount
Ebal. Mount Ebal. Yes, that's where we were, Mount Ebal. Okay, so, and we're, yeah, okay. And so the bottom line is, Yad Lakim is a Jewish organization. It's kind of like our ACLU, but they're super-duper Orthodox. Yad Lakim means hand for the brethren or hand for the people. And what they mean by that is, Their motto, and I can't remember exactly how to quote it, but I can paraphrase it, we're not going to leave one Jew behind. And what they mean is they are an anti-missionary organization. And by missionary, they mean Christian. They are anti-Christian. Right. They do not want a Jew professing that Yeshua is Messiah. They do all they can. That's what they exist for, is to sue people and threaten people and intimidate people, kind of like ACLU. And so they have been harassing and persecuting Zev Porat, threatening him for years, even before Zev and I ever met. But now that Zev and I are tied in ministry together, and we've written two books now, or he and I wrote that one, this latest one, but I wrote the one, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, 7 or 8 years ago. And then Zev and I have now joined up in ministry, and we wrote that one. And then, of course, I went to Israel with Zev, and Zev comes over here a lot. In fact, he'll be here again in the United States in just a couple of weeks. We're doing a media tour and a big conference in San Antonio with Jonathan Kahn and L.A. Marzulli and a bunch of other people that your audience knows. But the bottom line is, while we were there, Zev and I, one of the things that Yad Lakim has tried to spread around Israel is that our research on that book is just totally fake. It's a fraud. Rabbi Kaduri never wrote the note. It was never in his handwriting. All of these different things. And, of course, all of that is debunked in my second book. You've read that, the one Zev and I wrote. It's all debunked. I mean, they're caught. They're caught with their pants down, brother, and they know it. And they're desperately trying to keep this information from the Orthodox Jews, because when this information gets out, they come to Christ. Listen, I don't know if you've had Zev on recently, but he just led the chief rabbi of Ashdod to Yeshua just a few weeks ago. Are you familiar with that?
No, I didn't know that. You can tell us, man, about that in a minute when you finish this.
I will. Okay, so let me finish this, and then I'll tell you about that. And this is what they're afraid of. So the point is, while I was there, Zev and I agreed amongst ourselves. I can't remember whose idea it was, probably Zev's. But he said, look, let's call them. Let's get them on the phone. Let's call Yad Lakim. I've got their number. I know the names of all the rabbis. And of course, Zev is deeply connected to the rabbinical community. They all know him. He says, and I'm going to tell them that you're here. And he says, let's see if they'll make an appointment for us to come by and to have a decent, orderly conversation, a discussion, not a debate, not screaming and hollering, but just, listen, tell us why you think the Kaduri note is a fake, and we will tell you all the evidence that shows that it's not, and let's have a discussion about it. So Zev and I, if you'll watch that video, if you'll click on that after the show and take a few moments.
I will.
Yeah. So what you will do, you will hear Zev speaking in Hebrew, but now he translates it after, you know, he translates over it. But he is speaking in Hebrew. You hear the rabbi, the chief rabbi of Yad Lakim. You can hear him. We recorded the whole thing. In Israel, it's not illegal to do that. And we recorded the conversation, and you can hear them talking, and the rabbi is really ugly to Zev. I mean, he says basically that Zev needs to see a psychiatrist, and Zev says, why is that? He says, because you claim that Jesus is Messiah. You've lost your mind. You need to go see a psychiatrist. I mean, you need to hear this, brother. So, so anyway, I mean, the persecution is pretty tough, but Zev was very kind, very gracious, and he just talked. I'm sitting there witnessing the whole thing. And then he says, look, the man that wrote the book, Carl Gallops, is here. And the rabbi said, who? I don't know what you're talking about. Which Zev and I just looked at each other because they've been writing articles on me and about us. They've been publishing things about us. They've been doing radio shows about us. But he wanted to pretend like, oh, I don't even know Carl Gallops. Who are you talking about? And look, I don't have an egotistical need to be known by Yad Lakim, but his disingenuousness was just so funny. Zev and I were laughing while he was talking, and we weren't laughing out loud. He didn't hear us, but it was so funny because you could tell he was getting nervous. And finally, Zev says, look, are you going to let us come by and see you? We just want to sit down and talk to you. We want to hear your evidence. And Zev told him, he says, because look, if we're wrong, we'll make it correct. We'll tell the whole world we were wrong. I promise you. And then he says, well, what if I can prove that Jesus is not Messiah? Will you renounce him? And Zev shocked him. Zev said, sure, if you can prove it. He says, but you're not going to be able to prove it. But he said, yeah, let us come by and you prove to me that Jesus is not Messiah and I will renounce him. And the rabbi, that was his challenge. And the rabbi said, well, I got to talk to some other rabbis. And Zev said, well, I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. And he says, now look, Carl's going to be here for a few more days, so call us back. He says, okay, I'll get back to you. Well, he never did. So, and they have no intention of it. You see, they hide behind the internet. They hide behind their mail outs. They hide behind their radio programs. But when given the opportunity to sit down face to face with the people and the story that they're attacking, they refuse to do it. They refuse to present any evidence. They refuse to meet with us. They refuse to talk to us. Even after he made the challenge of, if I can prove Jesus is not Messiah, you got to renounce him. And we said, sure, we will. Just let us come talk to you. And he wouldn't do it. So that's that story. Let me hush, and you ask whatever you want to ask, and I'll tell you about the rabbi of Ashdod.
Okay, don't forget that. I want to hear about it. That's my comment is that seems the same spirit that crucified Yeshua. I think in the sense like this, I believe that they did – they crucified him, but they knew who he was, so to speak.
Yeah.
But they did it anyway because they were afraid it would usurp their power. And yeah. I see the same type of thing with this. Am I far off on that?
No, you're not at all. And I mean, that's absolutely right, brother. That's exactly. And some of that you're talking about, the reason I'm laughing is because some of what you're saying is going in narrative form in my brand new book that'll be coming out at the first of the year. And I don't want to give it all away.
You're making me scream.
I know. It's so funny. That happens to me. Every book I write is like while I'm in the process of writing it and I'm doing interviews, the hosts are asking me questions and I'm saying, well, you know, I answer every one of those in my new book. So, it's so freaky. I mean, it's like the Lord's always kind of telling me, you're doing the right thing. You're on the right track.
It's completely with the rabbi book. It ties so many different things together. And it was even shocking to me. I brought it up to you before that I was watching you on Skywatch, and they were talking about different things. But your testimony about the – you know, it tied it all together, all these things. It's just fantastic. Even with the copper scroll, all these things are just adding up, and your writing ability, You were called for that. This is a specific purpose, and it has to do with the end times, and you're there for a purpose, and so is them. But amen. Tell me about the other story.
Okay, thank you for all your kind words first. Let me thank you. And I pray the Lord is using me. God bless you, Pastor Dan. I'm going to relate secondhand to your audience. You can have Zev on soon. So if I misspeak if I misspeak anything and he corrects it, that take his word for it, not mine. But I did talk to him firsthand, plus I saw his report on it. That he posted on the internet. And, the bottom line is this. This is the best of my memory how it happened. Zev, of course, goes in community after community, town after town, all the time. He takes teams with him. He goes into some very dangerous areas sometimes, and then sometimes some rather neutral areas, but it's for the whole purpose of going to the streets and trying to win Orthodox Jews, or even unbelieving Jews, just secular Jews, trying to win Jews to Yeshua. He's like Paul. He has a heart for the Jews, you know, and he lives there among them, and that's who he is. And he was raised to be a rabbi. So he was in Ashdod, just below Tel Aviv, and on the Mediterranean coast, just above Joppa. Excuse me. All of a sudden, I got strangled here. But he was in Ashdod. And so they were witnessing, and Zev had the book that we wrote, The Rabbi, The Secret Message. He's got the Tanakh with him, you know, the Old Testament, the Jewish Bible, of course. And he's witnessing to some guys in the street. And the chief rabbi of Ashdod, and I can't remember the guy's name. It's a distinctly Hebrew name. I don't know if I could pronounce it if I remembered it, but Zev spoke it so quickly. But he says, yes, Rabbi so-and-so came, and he says, coming down the sidewalk, and he says, he's an elderly man. And he says, I knew him. He said, I didn't know if he remembered me, but he said, I've known him. He's very famous. He's on TV. He's on radio. And he said, I saw him coming down the sidewalk towards us. And, of course, the rabbi was checking up on what this conversation was. The rabbis consider themselves responsible for any religious discussion that's had within their district, even if it's, you know, out on a sidewalk somewhere. So here comes the rabbi. Well, when he gets up to him, Zev says, aren't you Rabbi so-and-so? And he says, yes. And he says, I'm Zev Peratt. And he said, well, what are you doing, Zev? And he says, well, he says, I'm talking about the Tanakh with these believers. I mean, with these Jewish friends. And so the rabbi starts questioning him about what his message is. And so he tells him, he said, I'm going to talk about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And can I talk to you? Can I show you some things I've discovered? And the rabbi said, sure. And Zev said, I want to ask you some questions. And the rabbi says, yes, because see, rabbis love to be asked questions, you know. So Zev starts asking him questions like in Psalm 22, you know, pierced for transgressions. No. They've pierced my hands and my feet. They gamble for my clothing. He said, who is this? And then he asked him some more questions. You know, Zechariah 12, they will, you know, you will look upon me whom you have pierced. You will mourn for him. Who is this? And then he goes to Isaiah 53, you know, pierced for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Who is this? And the rabbi, he said, the rabbi's face just kind of went white. And he says, wait a minute. These are not good questions. He said, this is not Jewish. And he says, wait a minute. You're telling me the Psalm isn't Jewish, that Isaiah is not Jewish? You know, and that Zechariah is not Jewish. The prophets are not Jewish. And he says, well, no. And so anyway, they got into this lengthy discussion, and the rabbi was just overwhelmed with Zev's knowledge of the scriptures and the things he was showing him. And the guy asked him, he says, can I sit down? And he says, yes. And so Zev sat on a bench with him, and the man said something again about, well, this just isn't Jewish, this Yeshua stuff. This isn't Jewish. He says, well, let me ask you a question. Do you think Rabbi Kaduri was Jewish? And he said, oh, my gosh, yes. He said, the most famous rabbi in history. He says, I studied in his yeshiva. I was a student of his many years ago. He says, yes, I knew him personally. And he says, so you believe he's Jewish? And he said, sure. And he says, so you would believe whatever he believes about the scriptures then? He said, oh, yes, Rabbi Kaduri is always right. And he said, okay. And he opened my book and turned to page 53, and he showed him the note. And the note that identifies Yeshua as Messiah in the handwriting of Yitzhak Kaduri. And he looked at it, and Zev said, is this Kuduri's handwriting? Is this your teacher's handwriting? He said, yes. He said, very distinctive handwriting. And he says, look at this. And so Zev showed him, and he said, oh, my gosh. He said, how come I've never seen this? And Zev says, because Yad Lakim and other groups like this, they're trying to keep this from you. It's a fake news. It's a deep state operation to keep you and other Jews from knowing the truth of what Rabbi Kuduri said. Zev says that he sat on that bench for 3.5 hours, and the man just asked question after question after question. And after 3.5 hours, Zev says that the rabbi, the chief rabbi of Ashdod, elderly man in his late 70s, threw up his hands and said, Yeshua is Messiah. Yeshua is Messiah. And he says, I want to be a believer in Yeshua. And Zev was so overwhelmed, he didn't really expect that. He told him, he says, well, of course you can. He says, salvation is for all in Yeshua HaMashiach. He says, but you do know you're going to have to resign from your own synagogue. You're going to have to step down from your own yeshiva. And the rabbi said, yes, I know. And Brother Dan, he has done it. He has stepped down from his synagogue and is now being discipled by Zev and claims that he is going to start preaching the gospel of Yeshua.
That takes my breath away.
Yeah, this is what's happening, brother. These are the prophetic times in which we're living, brother. And God, in that case, used that little book that Zev and I wrote in a little way, but he used it to draw the man to the scriptures. The scripture is what saves, not my book, but it.
Right.
But God used it to draw him to the Word of God.
Okay, but Carl, had you not put that together, and that's what I keep saying, you are prophetically in this world, you like it or not. This I know as a fact. It's come to me in the spirit, and it has over and over. Carl, you have a special place, you have a special job to do, and so does Zed. And this just proves it. Sure, the scriptures is what did it. Sure. But the Father uses people and things. This is part of your job that is yet to be finished. That's just breath. That takes my breath away. That's one of the strongest testimonies I've heard in some time, because that has to be part of our sign of the end times, is that Jews themselves turning over and Jews themselves giving the message back to you.
Well, thank you for your kind words about me. I pray that that is true. I just want to be a faithful servant of the Lord, and I'm humbled by what you said. Now, everything else you said about the times we're living in, yes. About Zev being so bold to share the faith under threat of persecution, yes. About God, I mean, this is prophetic, yes. A chief rabbi of a major biblical city, Ashdod, I mean, this is unbelievable. And it resigns his synagogue? Unbelievable. So, yes, you're right, brother. This is the stuff of Romans 11. This is the stuff of Joel 2.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the stuff of prophecy. This is the stuff of last days prophecy. So I'm going to end the show. I mean, you can ask me what you want, but I see we're running out of time. But I'll just end the show by saying this. I've said it a million times on your show, and we'll say it again. We are living in the most profoundly prophetic days since the first coming of Jesus Christ. We are the generation, brother. We are.
Yeah. Amen. That's a fact, Carl. You left me breathless here at the end of the program. I'm going to have to talk to Zev about that. Let me know when you guys are coming. It might be easier to talk to him in the United States than sometimes the connection isn't as good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, tell them where to find you, and we'll end the show on that, because it's that time anyway.
Okay. Yeah, it is. Thank you, Pastor Dan, for having me on, and thank you to your amazing audience. Yeah, it's easy to find me at carlgallups.com, CarlGallups, carlgallups.com. Everything about me, just click around on the links, you'll see it, the menu links. You can listen to my radio show, live stream right there, listen to my Ask the Preacher show, my Freedom Friday show, look at my book, read inside my book, order books, get package deals, listen to some videos, watch me on TV. You can do it all from that one page, carlgallups.com.
All right, Carl. Will you be blessed, as I know you are, and we'll talk again.
Thank you, Pastor Dan. God bless you, bro.
Bye and shalom. Well, folks, that was really, really heavy testimony. You need to listen to that again. But we'll get Zev on here and have Zev tell us about this, because now, you know, I'm just breathless from that to realize what happened. You have to think about it and pray about it. Anyway, all right, well, now back to this. Okay, Wichita Mission Church, yes, we do need your help. We are starting to pull out of the summer slump, but donations are starting to pick up. But we really need donations to keep us on radio. I know you folks love our guests, and we've been trying to have on new guests for you and some exciting things going on. So help us do that. We really need donations for radio airtime. So pray about supporting radio or maybe becoming a radio sponsor. I don't do that partnering thing and all that stuff. I don't even really understand that. But pray about it. But above all, folks, you must remember this, that there is only one true God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua, HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. And he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and that you would give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.